Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. Hi, I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and I'm glad to be back hosting the show with my sister, Denise. And tonight we are here for part two of a discussion on HD, high-definition makeup and lighting with Sarah Seidman-Vance. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm great. I almost forgot what I'm supposed to be doing here. I forgot that I was the actual host of the show. So I was sitting there almost waiting for my sister to say something. But I am back, glad to be back, but was happy to be away as well. So I'm going to hand it over to my sister. She may have some beauty news for us.
Well, I have just a little bit of beauty news, and I think, Jennifer, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How's everybody doing?
Hi, Jennifer.
Great. Okay. Basically, I just wanted to remind everyone that the Beauty Talk Sizzle Reel is on our YouTube page. So if you haven't seen it yet, go out and check it out. You can go to youtube.com/illusionscosmetics and just, you know, let us know what you think. Leave a comment, and we'll respond back to you. But just go out, check it out, and let us know what you think. And I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer because I think we discussed earlier a couple of topics that we kind of wanted to bring to everyone's attention just to see how people felt about it. But before we do that, we want to find out if we have a winner yet for the Danessa Myricks DVD contest. And then I think I just want to talk about the Essence thing. I think the other thing may be a little too... a little too racy for some people. So let's just start with the Danessa Myricks contest.
Well, actually, we don't have a winner yet. Tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., we're going to end the actual contest. And
okay.
Get some nice comments, you know, for people actually saying, you know, why they should win. And a lot of people, they're really, really pushing the idea that they really want education. So them listening in tonight with Sarah Seidman-Vance, very important, and obtaining very educational DVDs like Danessa is going to be a really good thing. But you can go to jenniferjamesbeauty.blogspot.com, click on the Win Danessa Myricks DVD link, and comment away, and you'll be eligible to win.
Cool. Now, you wanted to talk about the Essence magazine issue, is that correct?
Well, it could get a little... I mean, that could take all night, you know. Everybody has all these different feelings going here and there. So it's up to you guys if you want to touch on it for a minute or...
Well, I mean, I think you can...
There's a couple other topics that are interesting, too.
I think you can kind of bring it up, and then we can just kind of let people shoot away in the beauty lounge if, you know, if they want to comment on it. We can do that.
Okay, so everybody knows the recent controversy. Essence Magazine, who is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and Essence Magazine has traditionally been a magazine which catered to and was actually brought about because of the lack of attention towards or presence of a magazine for women of color in the United States of America. So with their recent hiring of a non-African-American fashion director, it kind of raised a lot of eyebrows, and people have actually expressed some hurt feelings. And I mean, opinions are all over the place. So basically, you can just go on the internet, do a quick search, and I mean, you will get thousands and thousands of hits about this issue because everybody's either A, B, C issue, but then here comes somebody else with D, E, F, and G. I mean, it's really, really across the board as a hot button issue in America right now. So, I mean, everybody has an opinion. I have 1,500 opinions being a almost charter. I couldn't be a charter subscriber because I'm not old enough, but I have so many Essence magazines catalog. It's, you know, just been like one of those staple household things. It's just interesting to hear how people feel about it.
So can you give us one of your opinions?
Well, one of my opinions is that I think it was a good opportunity. The magazine and the editor, they make choices because they're in the position to make them, and they do them for their readership. So if they saw a need to diversify in the staff on behalf of the readership, I could see that as one positive thing for it. But the other side, which is my strongest opinion, is that because of the severe, I say severe, underrepresentation of women of color in the fashion industry as a whole, it seems like we could rely on one place to know that, okay, Essence Magazine is going to be at Fashion Week in that seat right there, and we'll be represented as a body of people in America, and the person sitting there would somewhat look like many of us, which is just a concern of, you know, people that work in the industry, like you guys and myself.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to let everyone, you know, chat away. And if you want to respond, you can surely respond. And if you have questions for Sarah, please, you know, those in as well. And we'll get those questions over to Sarah. And if you need to call in, the number is 914-803-4399. So, Sarah,
hello?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say to Sarah, this is Janice, since I missed last week's show, I wanted to ask you to just kind of sum up what you guys discussed last week before we go forward.
A whole lot. We covered a lot. I mean, we covered, you know, how I got started, what I'm looking, what I look for in a makeup artist and if someone's assisting me. We discussed, you know, what different ways, how to do makeup with HD. We talked, how I met Suzanne and how High Definition Makeup University got started. And there's some other things, but my brain has gone blank because we really did talk about, we crammed a lot into that hour.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay. Well, can you repeat, since I didn't hear, how the High Definition University got started?
Basically, to do a Reader's Digest synopsis, through conversations on the phone with Suzanne over probably a year period, we shared our ideas on how we were seeing regular makeup application and airbrush application was going to fare up in the high-definition market. And she started watching my work on the Christian Broadcasting Network 700 Club. That's where I work in the mornings. And she'd asked me if I had airbrushed my female talent, and I said no, that was regular makeup application. She thought I had airbrushed her. So,
wow.
So then she came up with the idea of having a central place where people could come to learn the different approaches to high-definition makeup, you know, one being airbrush and the other being regular makeup application, but the techniques in doing this in order to make it look good for camera, for especially high-definition camera.
Gotcha.
And that's how it came about. So pretty much it was our conversations, but it was Suzanne's baby.
Oh, okay.
So, Sarah, do you remember last week we talked about you possibly, well, not possibly, but you singing for us. You said you would definitely do that.
Can we do it at the end?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it at the end. I just want to make sure you remember.
I did. I was hoping you forgot.
No, we didn't forget. We didn't forget. Last week, you touched a little bit on corrective makeup. And so I was just curious. I was curious. Tattoo cover-up. What's your approach to tattoo cover-up? Because I know, I mean, there are plenty of people who have their own special way of covering tattoos and, you know, what to use, what not to use, what colors to use. Just curious as to...
Well, depending on the, you know, depending on the skin, what I will do, especially with really heavy tattoos that have lots of color, I will actually grab Dermablend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one's it's good and it stays on. It doesn't rub off as easily. You can also use airbrush, but the way in doing this, you have to layer it from the lightest color up to the color of their actual surrounding skin. Because it's you don't want to cover the whole arm. That's just that's a total pain in the tuchus.
Okay.
For those who don't know Yiddish, that's your backside.
Right.
But when I'm doing, and I have examples up on my website in my effects makeup section, I will start out, let's say it's a Caucasian, I will start out with the zero in the Dermablend, and I will stipple that on. And then I will go up every color after that, stippling it, not covering it completely. With stippling, I'm depositing layers of color, but in a way that it doesn't make it one solid block that I'm trying to bring up all the layers to match the surrounding skin tone and skin colors, because we don't. Nobody has just one color in their skin.
Right.
We're all layers of color, and that's when I'm covering tattoos, that's my goal, is to match the surrounding area and do it as well as possible so that the talent can move with ease and not worry about it and not feel like their entire arm is covered. Yes, there's sometimes... It's no, you can cover it all you want to, but because of the texture, and we discussed this briefly last week with ethnic skin, particularly African American skin, the tattooing, that you may be able to cover it in color, but it raises the skin. So you'll still see not the color of the tattoo, but you'll see the outline drawing on the skin. That's still a difficult thing to do in African-American skin to cover the tattoos because the tattoos do tend to raise up on the skin.
Okay,
yeah.
So
talk to everyone about what Dermablend is, just in case someone doesn't
okay,
know.
Okay, Dermablend was designed years ago, and you can use Dermacolor by Krylon. I just find the Dermablend is a little bit drier, so it doesn't rub away as easily. And it was designed originally for dermatologists to use for people with disfigurements, such as port wine stains or burns or discolorations for matching skin in vitiligo. So it was designed a long time ago, but it's been my best friend when I'm covering tattoos.
So
it works so well.
So you're saying you pretty much take the lightest color.
The lightest color, and I will stipple it on so that it's a complete mass of the lightest light that the Dermablend has for, let's say, for Caucasian skin. They also have a light one for ethnic skin. That will be stippled on first. And that actually will do the most of the cover with that color. Then I come back with every level of color until I get up to the color that matches their surrounding skin tone and stipple it all in so that it almost looks seamless between the two, where the majority of the cover has actually been the very first layer stippled on,
right.
Because the stippling keeps that skin texture, keeps it looking like skin and not like this smoothed out area. And then
right.
Come back with each color layer after that, but stippling it in a way that it's not a complete cover when you come to the next layer.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
you you do that with each subsequent color going up in the stages of the shades, until you reach the surrounding color that's the skin, that's the natural skin that doesn't have either a bruise, if you're covering a bruise, or a tattoo.
Right. And so, and some people also take the approach, you know, especially on darker skin, if the, you know, with the blue and the tattoo ink, they'll cover with an orange color.
Right.
And once that's covered, then they'll cover with, like, you know, a foundation or something that, you know.
Right. Well, they'll have to be, with high definition, you have to be extremely careful with that. Meaning you can put the orange, but it can't just be one color. It's going to have to be more colors than that besides just the orange and the base. Because the camera picks, because the camera will pick out that red, the orange, the red in that orange and pull it through. So you have to layer in colors because you have to trick the camera as well as the eye.
Now, are you stippling because it's HD and stippling and layering because it's HD?
Yes, and I also do that for film as well because film is, you know, unless you're shooting, if you're shooting anything less than 35 millimeter, you can get away with a lot more. But once you go past 35 and you go to 70, 70 is almost, it's like, it's just almost as clear as high def. And now a lot of the films that are being shot in high definition medium and not in film at all.
Gotcha.
I mean, they will later transfer it to film to be shown in the theaters, but since they're working towards even eliminating that it will be completely computer generated and transferred in that manner without being put on a film.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, this is something I've done all along because I've worked in so much in the film medium that when we moved to high def, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
Everything's got to be done as if it were high def, even if we're working in film or anything else, because that's the way, that's where we're headed. I mean, you know, as a complete, and the Blu-ray, forget it, that's even worse. It makes our jobs hard. It really does.
Right. So, I mean, that was a very important question. So if anyone in the chat room or anyone on the phone line has any questions along those lines, please get them out there and let's get the answers to these questions because it's only going to help us all, no matter, you know, what we're working on, whether it's film, TV, you know, photo shoot. Like, all of these little things are going to help us all.
Totally. Even with photo shoots, because if you can give the majority of it right up front, that's less work for the photographer, and they'll be more inclined to use you again if they don't have to do a lot of correction work or airbrush work in the Photoshop.
Right, exactly.
It's only going to benefit the makeup artist to do their best in the beginning.
Right, exactly. Let's go back to your high def university and just tell us a little about some of your classes. I know you have one coming up, but just talk a little bit more about the types of classes that you offer.
No, actually, this was Saturday. This past Saturday I had the class.
Yeah, I was afraid of that when I did.
Yeah, that's okay. and that class was Lighting for Makeup Artists. And we briefly touched on this last week. This came about as I was teaching a class with Suzanne. We were doing a class strictly on high-def makeup, doing it. I did one day where I did the regular makeup application. The next day she did the airbrush. But in it we discussed the differences on how the difference between 1080p and progressive and the aspect ratios and everything, just to get everybody familiar with it. It's, you know, some of it's a lot of knowledge that's not going to make sense right off the bat, but down the road it will. It also is going to aid the makeup artist in when they're standing on a set, they're going to know their craft and they're going to know the craft around them. Lighting affects our makeup, and you have to work with your DP or lighting director. I mean, that was the biggest reason for me putting this class together. And also having too many makeup artists come up to me on a set or something and something doesn't look right, and they go, oh, makeup ruined it. I mean, lighting ruined it, pardon me. And it's like, well, did you talk to them ahead of time? Did you come and see what the lighting situation looked like before you put the makeup on your talent? With this class this past week, we went through all the lighting instruments so they had an idea of what what intensity of light each instrument produced, and I had them do makeup in an incorrectly lit situation, and then move them into a lit situation in front of a camera to see if they could see where the problems were when they weren't in good lighting, and then to put them in the good lighting and to see if they saw it or they missed it, and then take them back into the bad lighting and say, now look at them. The problems are still there. So to help train the eye, because we've all been stuck in situations where we didn't get a nice trailer with a great lighting package inside. We got these icky fluorescent bulbs, or we've got the yellow incandescent bulbs that make everything look really warm, but that's not truly what we're going to see when we go on set. So my objective is to teach the makeup artists to be able to see it, whether they're in good lighting or bad lighting, and be better at their craft, be able to just adapt in any situation they're stuck in, and to learn how to talk to their DP or the lighting director, because if they understand the terminology, if they know what a key light is, or they know what, backlight is, or what that instrument is, can we have this Fresnel moved a little bit to help my talent out or whatever, or if the talent has something, a blemish of some kind on their face, to be able to go to the DP and go, look, I've done what I can by trying to hide this as best possible with color. What can you do to help me with lighting to make this not look as prominent, especially if it's something raised on the skin? The DP can help you a whole lot to direct the light in such a way to change the shadow so it almost wipes out whatever it is that's sticking up on their skin that you've covered with color, but there's nothing you can do when it's raised.
Right.
So, and then the other classes, like I said, the one with Suzanne that Suzanne and I did, with the difference between regular makeup application and airbrush. And that's invaluable because the classes sometimes half people that do airbrush and the other half that don't. And we don't want people that don't know how to do one or the other or the opposite to feel like they're out of the loop. And as I said last week, I'm okay at airbrush. It's not my gifting. I'm not as good at, Suzanne's excellent at it, and there's other people that are excellent at it. It's not my gifting. I'm better with regular makeup application. So we did this so that, those people that aren't gifted, who, let's say there's somebody who's super gifted in airbrush and is not gifted in regular makeup application. This is to let everybody know that we're all still viable. Just because, everybody says, oh, it's got to be airbrush. No, it doesn't. And that's, that's what we want to convey. But give everybody the best possible education we can. We can't take it with us. To be effective teachers, you have to share your knowledge. You can't hold on to it. Dick Smith is one of those, is a giving and generous man. And he said that, he will share everything that he knows. If you're the kind of makeup artist that's going to withhold something because you're afraid somebody's going to look over your shoulder and steal your job, then you're in it for the wrong reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Let me ask you,
Hello?
Is there anything when it comes to airbrushing that we need to look out for when it pertains to HD?
Yes. Be careful, be very, very, very careful when doing the airbrushes. You don't overlayer in areas because camera picks that up.
Okay.
Have a light hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not good at airbrushing, it looks sloppy and you don't come close enough to the hairline, or you don't have your skill set doesn't have it so that you can really come up close under the eye, make sure you have a makeup that can correspond, like a regular cream makeup that will correspond with the airbrush, which Graftobian has, so that you can make sure that that's flawless. Because you can see it. You can see it on HD. And I've seen it a bunch of times coming on some of the news shows, especially, because they usually run in and run out, that there's no airbrush at the hairline, that they've missed under the eyes and they've done nothing, and you have this weird circle under their eyes. It's visible. We see it. You have to watch your monitor. You've got to look at your monitor. If you don't see it with your eye, you can be doggone sure the camera's going to see it, especially when we're putting flesh tones on any skin, whether it's ethnic or Caucasian. It's going to pull red. We're going to see it. If you haven't covered whatever that thing is on their face, or if you haven't brought it into the hairline or under the eyes, or you've oversprayed in an area and you've created a thick area, camera's going to see it.
Right.
Camera's going to see it. When you're working with sponges, you don't want streaks. One big thing that I find that does not work real well on HD is the foundation brushes. They leave streaks. You can see them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, if you want to use your foundation brush, fine and dandy, but go back over it with a sponge and stipple out the brush strokes.
Right.
So
since we're talking about that, like, what are some of the products that you like to use for high def, and some of your application methods you like to use?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is not even just with a tattoo cover. I stipple with my application, and I layer in color. One of my talents, she has 6 different colors stippled into her face so that it looks like it's airbrushed.
Right.
And, you know, she's an older woman. I need to do this. I need to take out those things that come with getting older, the redness around the nose, the dark circles under the eyes, and then come back. After you've done correction, you've removed all that color, you've got to put color back. So then I layer that color in. I'm always very ginger with the blush.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing the makeup and you've got proper lighting, when you do the blush, you want to do the blush so it looks nice to your eye, but not overdone. Because once they get in front of that HD camera, where it's 1,000 pixels per line, that red's going to pop big time. And if you've done it a little too heavy, it's going to look like the whore Babylon on camera.
Right.
It will. You have to be gentle. You have to be gentle with everything that you do. So I stipple the makeup on. I use, right now I'm using Gerda Spillman. I really, really like Gerda Spillman. But I have also started using the Graftobian, because Suzanne uses the Graftobian airbrush as well as cream makeup, and they have a very nice line as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things I'll switch up. I have a powder that I've used that was mixed for me by, she's out of Baltimore, Diane Hammond. She mixed this powder for me years ago, but it's perfect. And somebody had given her the recipe for it, as it were, for African-American skin. And this particular way that she blends it, and I've carried it on, it works on every tone of ethnic skin, to that very high yellow tones to the very deep and rich mahogany. So, you know, there's all the, you know, I have used powders that Imam's put out. I have used Tuttle stuff, although the Tuttle tends to be a little heavy. But, you know, so I have, my kit is mixed. It's what works. Base makeup, generally, I'm using the Gerda Spillman. I really, really like it. I love the colors, and I mix a lot. Now, with the Graftobian, they have a huger selection as far as their color palette, and it's an excellent makeup as well. But eye colors, I use anybody. You know, I've got MAC. I've got Natural Born Cosmetics. I've even got a couple of Maybellines where they had some really neat colors that I couldn't find anywhere else. So, you know, but I will not buy the cheap brands, you know, the no-name brands. I just won't do that. But mainly because I can't verify what's in them. And we have to be careful what's in our makeup. You know, my other big thing that I talk about in the classes is asking your talent whether they're allergic to wool or not. Because if they're allergic to wool, they cannot wear anything with a lanolin base in it. That's a big one, because I've had people sit in my chair, and I didn't ask, and I put on, you know, one of the makeups that happened to have lanolin in it, and their face started to sting. and I had to quickly get it off of their face and realize I'd forgotten to ask them. I cannot wear anything that has lanolin in it. I'm highly allergic to wool. That's something everybody's got to know what's in their makeup. There are people out there that have latex issues. You cannot use the latex sponges. You have to get the non-latex sponges. You need to keep that in your kit anywhere, to keep at least a pack of those in your kit, because there's a lot of people that have latex allergies, and you can't use those sponges on them at all.
Right. Exactly.
What types of products, besides those particular ingredients that you spoke of, what type of products should we be careful with using when we're doing makeup by hand for HD?
Well, we all need to be light of hand when we're around the eyes. Sometimes we don't have a lot of time to ask questions, and a lot of times, people will already know. But we're not going to always know what all the terms mean, but try to know as many of them as you possibly can, as far as, the ingredients and products. You got to be careful with alcohol. We all know you have to be careful with that, especially if you're doing prosthetic work, because a lot of times we use the alcohol to smooth out the edges of a latex piece, or to help remove it if we don't have another kind of makeup solvent. Whatever we do, we must be careful. If we use pencils around the eyes, we have to be careful. You have to have a steady hand. And if you don't, then work on using your other hand to hold your wrist to keep your hand steady so that you don't hurt your talent. Be light-handed. I've had some people in some of the classes that I've watched them with their brushes beating the heck out of these poor ladies' skin, with their blush brush, and I'm going, no. That's not how you're going to get that to blend, and teaching them actually how to use those brushes. Those brushes are not hammers, and they're not like sponges. They're supposed to be a light hand to use them, because we can damage the skin. Redheads, got to be careful when you're doing anything on them. They will splotch in a heartbeat. Real redheads, freckles. Those kinds. Right. Not like me, I'm dyed. That'd be Paul Mitchell 4RO. But very, very, very fair skin, got to be careful, super careful, very gentle with their skin. It will mark red. Also, when you're talking to somebody, do they blush when they get nervous? I had a talent that every time they came to do an interview, their necks and their ears would go bright red. And since I knew that, I color corrected before they even got out there so that when it did go red, it wouldn't show.
Right.
So these are little things, but sometimes you don't have enough time to ask everybody. But when somebody comes and sits in your chair, especially if you're doing something quick, in those 5 seconds that you're shaking your hand and saying, "Hi, how are you? And it's so lovely to see you," whatever, you're at that moment looking at their face, checking out their color, seeing where you're going to have to do correction, and turn around and be able to pull everything out in the next 5 seconds after that, so your talent's not sitting there very long, and you know where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So, Sarah, let me ask you, what advice do you have for makeup artists who are just starting in the business as it pertains to HD in the industry now, like as far as their kits, education, like thinking about where the business is now? What would you tell them, if they're wanting to know, like, what should I buy for my kit? Like, what would you tell them if they want to know, where should I go for education, or, what type of classes should I take? What would you tell them?
Well, there's plenty of good schools, like Makeup Designore, and they've established themselves quite nicely. And then there's individuals. But this is what I want you to look for when you're being taught by somebody. One, how long have they been in the business as a professional? Two, see how they do, do as much research as you possibly can on what they've done. You can take from individuals, you can take from school. That has to be the individual's choice on that. And I came up a totally different way. I came up from you know, being an opera singer and learning makeup at my father's knee because my dad had been in vaudeville. So I learned theater makeup and then transferred that knowledge as I moved into television and film and learning how to pull back because, you know, for theater you do makeup from the third aisle back where with what we do, light hands, light hands. See, check out everybody. See what everybody likes, but see what's trendy and see what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Makeup 401's kind of nice site to go to because the makeup artists that are working put up there what they've been using on their talent. Start looking to see which brands are using the most, which ones that they like. You'll start to see a pattern. Yeah, there's going to be some that are going to be a little bit off the norm, but that's what they need to do. Go up to places like Makeup Artist Magazine with Makeup 401. See what the professionals are doing. Read. Get books. It's so important. You know, I'm a big one on having books of history, especially
mm-hmm.
for history of makeup and the history of hair. Because sometimes in the hair books, they talk about mustaches and those kinds of things, which are really makeup artist's domain.
Right.
Take every class you can possibly get your hands on. You have to have the knowledge. There's too many people out there that want to go out there and just be celebrity makeup artists or red carpet makeup artists or just be hooked with a star.
Right.
If that's what you'd want to do, fine. But if you want to have longevity in the business, stay in the business, and grow in the business, constantly educate. I'm constantly learning new things. Facebook has been wonderful to stay in contact with a plethora of lovely makeup artists that are generous. And I'll go, look, I got a problem here, and they'll write me back, or can you call me? And they'll call me, and we'll talk about it. Share. Share with everybody. If you get in the mindset that you don't need to learn anything more and that you're all that, you don't belong in this business because that's not how you stay in this business. If you don't grow with it, you're not going to work. It's just not going to work.
You tell them, Sarah.
two books that I have that I absolutely adore. They're both by Richard Corson. They're about $150 a piece. It's called Fashions in Makeup and Fashions in Hair. I recommend that highly for everybody because the cool part is that when you're doing historical work, you can read in these books, and also I do extra research too to see how they dressed, what they were eating. We're not going to be able to get makeup like Cleopatra had and crush up some bugs. Or, you know, or take, you know, coal and smash it up to make liner. But knowing what those things look like, we can find modern-day products to simulate those products and be able to make our work look authentic.
Right. Right. And then check out, you know, other books from Richard Corson as well.
Oh, his stage makeup book is great because it shows you venting for making mustaches and beards and wigs.
Right.
It's excellent for that. I also get all those old movie books, you know, where they have, you know, Life Goes to the Movies or That's Entertainment. All those old movie books are wonderful, especially if you're duplicating the old movie eras.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they got all those headshots in them.
Right.
So you can see all the really cool finger wave work in the hair and see what they did with the makeup. They were big into lashes.
I mean, definitely for even just like basic effects work or definitely want to pick up your book for that type of education, source manual. Nothing else. I mean, it even gives you photos of different hairstyles from, you know, different time periods, you know,
mm-hmm.
for African Americans, Caucasians, you name it.
Exactly. And everybody's got to know everything.
Everything.
No longer is it the day where just the, you know, it's just black makeup artists doing black talent or white makeup artists just doing white talent. If we can't do both, we're dead in the water.
Hello.
But unfortunately, there are some who can't do both. But
oh, I know that. I know that.
What?
I am very aware of that. And it goes the same in the hair world as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
But every time you meet somebody, if you get a chance, the way I started, and we talked about this last week, how I got started was I went in as an extra on film and started talking to the crew members and the hair and the makeup people and asking questions. And eventually, through a whole myriad of things which we discussed last week, I ended up, you know, as a makeup artist. So I had a base to start with. I learned basic theater makeup, and then I went on sets, and I would stand close enough so I could watch the makeup artists doing their jobs. I could see how they were doing it. Learn from everybody.
Right.
Everybody's going to have a different technique, and then you become your own technique by picking up what other people do. Now, sometimes there's certain things that I do that other people can't quite get in their hand. Now, in some ways, I've been lucky enough to be able to show actually the mechanics of what I'm doing so that person can duplicate what I've done. But there's some people that they just don't have that same kind of dexterity in their hands. And so they're going to have to find their way, and they may find it from another makeup artist to do the same thing. What we want to arrive at, even when Suzanne and I are teaching, even though some of the things that we do, we come at it from a very different direction, the end result is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to make your talent look good or bad if you're supposed to.
Right.
But to do it with the best of your ability, blend, stipple, don't overdo it with the airbrush, making sure you're layering in color.
Mm-hmm.
When we're doing print, everything kind of goes flat. But when you're doing... And I like to see this more in print myself, is that you create a three-dimensional picture. We're not just making everybody's skin tone look gorgeous. We also have to give them dimension in their face.
Right.
I had a student who completely covered the other student because they had to do each other. So when we placed this student in front of the camera, there's absolutely no levels whatsoever. Everything was completely flat. And I said that. I said, there's no levels. And they didn't quite understand. This is what I mean by levels, is that she had made the talent one absolute color. She corrected, but she corrected so that everything, it was all one color. She never put any color back to bring the cheekbones out or the nose out or the chin out or the eyebrow, or the brow, you know, the brow ridge out. You have to go back in and put in lighter colors to bring those features forward. Because what ended up happening, no matter whether the light was good or not, because of what she did makeup-wise, that talent was flat.
Right.
So it's got to be dimension.
Have a caller on the line. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Hello, caller. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, everyone.
Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Cynthia Jones, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi, Cynthia Jones.
Hi, ladies. I just had a quick question for Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Fine. I met you back at IMET. I met you through Suzanne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a good little chat about the Emmys and all that. I had a question.
Sure.
I don't know if you covered this. My phone was going in and out, but... When working in HD, and you were talking about, you know, working with the skin and trying to get that balance, but you need to do the color correction first. Now,
right.
I heard you talk about you use Derma Blend.
No, that was for tattoo covering.
Tattoo coverage, okay.
Tattoo covering or bruising. No,
okay.
I mean, like, if I'm doing, you know, a normal person's skin, I'm going to come in with a highlight color first as for my correction. Then I come back layering on the different levels of the base color, and then stippling in the rouge color. But I don't just put it on the cheeks because we don't just have color there.
Right.
I'll touch a little bit on the forehead and on the chin, you know, and then if they have the structure for it, I will add a little bit of contour color. But don't put contour on somebody that doesn't have any.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Because what I was wondering was, do you go in correcting with the foundation, or do you like if you were trying to neutralize blue, you go in with the orange shade, or you know, if you were trying to cover up redness, are you going in with the green shade, like straight?
No, I come in when I'm covering the reds. I come in more with the yellow, because
okay.
You have to understand when you're using the greens
mm-hmm.
and the oranges,
mm-hmm.
if they're not subtle. With HD, the
It'll
skin
really
looks gray.
Yeah.
It looks gray on camera. So, for instance, I don't know if any of you know the Gerda Spillman line,
mm-hmm.
but on
yeah.
one of my talent, I use the Stardust under her eyes. It works with her skin pigment. It's a base color, but I use it as her correction color and highlight color before I put the base on. Then I come back with the base. But what I do, where I put these highlight colors, I actually stipple the base on top of it so that it still has a lighter look to it than the rest of the face. But not that it's not that it's distinguishable that I say, oh, that's light, that's dark. But it's a blending up from the darker areas of the face up to the lighter area, but not losing that highlight that I've created so that her cheekbones stand out. Because she's got cheekbones, I don't want to lose them. Because if I go and just do complete correction and just put the base over it and don't put anything else and just put the base thick enough that it's one color, then I've totally defeated the purpose of keeping what God's already made and enhancing what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
I can do a full makeup with just base makeup. I can do eyeshadow. I can do lip colors. I can do everything with base if I have to. And I've had that happen where I've been stuck someplace and half my kit didn't come with me because of an airplane error or whatever. And ended up doing an entire makeup with all base.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done. Yes, we have palettes that have highlight colors, and that's great because that makes it faster for us to grab that, you know, for correction.
Right.
But you need to know, if you don't have that palette, you better figure out how you can do it without it. That's where the skill comes in, that you can think in a pinch and go, wait, I can make this work by blending it with that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Definitely. One other quick question. Like I said,
sure.
I had missed this before, but when you're working in HD, do you find
mm-hmm.
yourself freehanding more, or do you airbrush, or maybe a mixture?
I freehand.
Okay.
I freehand. That's my expertise, is freehand. I mentioned it earlier. My expertise is not airbrush. I can do it, and I do it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not. I don't have the gifting to make it beautiful. I don't feel like it's as good as it can be. And I practice at it, but it's just not my gifting. My gifting has been regular application
mm-hmm.
and using a stippling technique in order to do it in layering with color. Not making this one, you've got to keep the dimensions of the face. If you lose the dimensions and there's no levels to the face, then you've totally defeated what we're supposed to do, and that's to keep the beautiful features, hide the ones that aren't so beautiful, yeah, and have that talent walk out there feeling like $1 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is usually more women. Men are really uncomfortable, but
true.
So, you know, that's something I would challenge all of everybody listening. Get one of your palettes of your base makeup, or several of them, I don't care, and grab a friend. And do an entire makeup with nothing but your base makeup. Don't pull out your highlight, your Dermacolor palette or whatever palette you have for correction, I don't want you to pull that out. I want you to practice with just all your light to dark color base makeups and see what you can do. See if you can create that pretty eye. You're not, of course, you can't do it with mascara, but you know, but you can take a liner brush and take your darkest base color and make liner out of that.
Right,
I want everybody to do that. I am challenging everybody to do that, because if you can master that, then you can do makeup anywhere, at any time, and be able to think quick on your feet, because that's what's going to keep you working. That those are the makeup artists that can think quick on their feet. When they're on the set, something happens, they go, wait, I can do this. Boom, it's done. Camera's not been held, especially when it's $1,000 a minute. You will become invaluable. Hello?
I think you left us all speechless.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome.
We're all sitting at your feet looking up at you like, wow.
Who? Me? No. Oh, good Lord, no. No, no, no. Sit at Jesus' feet, not mine.
we're tweeting all of your quotes.
Oh. No, you know what? I have been blessed in my life to been given wonderful opportunities, been able to work with wonderful makeup artists who have shared their knowledge with me, and I want to do the same. I'm paying it forward. I want everybody coming up to enjoy what they do too, but do it for the long haul. If, like I said, if you aspire just to be a celebrity makeup artist, or you just aspire to be a red carpet makeup artist, okay, that's fine, but that's not going to last long. And you're not always going to be the star's best friend. It doesn't always work that way.
Right.
It really doesn't. You know, it's like, you know, I've worked many, many shows, and I can count maybe 6 people that I'm still in contact with, mm-hmm. that they were lasting friendships. And not because people are mean, but this business is so transient that don't count on that.
Right.
If you're doing this, you're doing it because you love to create. You're doing this because you love what you do, and you love being in the business. But if you're doing it for the other reasons, that it's just about making a ton of money, yeah, who doesn't like to make a ton of money? But that can't be the end-all, be-all. If that's your only goal for that, or your only goal is to be famous, forget it, because fame is fleeting. And that's not going to keep you working until you're in your old age. That's what we want here. We want people that want to continue to learn. We want people that love what they do. My other big thing, when you guys get on set, tongue stewardship. Mind your mouth. No gossip. Not even in the trailer. You're the first line. You're the first ones the actors see. You're the first ones that the producers count on.
Yep.
Keep it to yourself. Keep your integrity. Don't get involved, because that happens too much on sets with all the gossip. Gossip bad.
Mhm. Mhm.
So, yeah. My pearls of wisdom.
Your pearls of wisdom. See, you should start tweeting that, your pearls of wisdom.
Oh, and I see. The bad part is I forget them. I'll repeat them again a little differently, but when I'm talking, and I'm talking to you people and anybody I'm teaching, this is when I'm in that passionate place is when they come. And
mm-hmm.
And I'm passionate about being able to share what I know. And there's people out there that know more than I know. There's people that know less than I know. But if I can share what I know and they go to the next person and learn something else, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Right. Well, we're coming close to the end.
Wow, it goes so quick.
Oh, I know, it goes so quick. We have 6 minutes left, and I'm not sure how long you plan on singing, so I want to give you enough time. So,
well, it would only take a minute, so If you have any other questions, we can answer that before a thing.
So if anyone has any other questions in the chat room, you know, type them in now so we can ask Sarah before we, you know, allow her to sing.
Now, and they can, if they want to skip that, they can go, if they're on my Facebook, I have up there me singing in my video section.
So we don't want to skip that. But this
darn.
Is something special. So that when we want to, we can play it over and over and over again.
Oh, my.
And play it over. And I don't know.
Well, I'll do a short little thing.
Yay.
Okay, well, before,
just
before
short.
Okay, before you do that, though, I just want to, you know, thank the people in the chat room who are chatting away tonight.
Just saw somebody say session three. I'm like, oh, man.
I know. I saw that, and I'm like, and I'm sitting here asking myself, does she mean she wants a part three to this show? Please type yes if that's what you mean, Brandon. But we want to thank Apple Diva, Brandon Fulton, Gorgeous Ingredient, Jen James Beauty, of course, Kelly O'Shea, Nicole Rogers, and then I guess one of the guests will be you, Sarah. And whoever the other guest is out there, we want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Sarah's going to sing for us. So, I mean, before she does that,
I just want to thank Jen for filling in for me this past month. I guess it was a whole month. So thank you, Jennifer, for that. You've done an excellent job, so I appreciate it.
My pleasure, doll.
And just for
right
those
there.
For those people who think, you know, Jennifer's going somewhere, she's not going anywhere. She's going to hang out with us in the chat room. And then also she's going to come back from time to time as our beauty correspondent and, you know, help us out with some special beauty news items. So she's not going anywhere. But, yes, Sarah, they do mean a part three.
You look at that. Yeah, session three. That's very funny.
I'm going to give you time to think about that, and you can
okay.
let me know about that, you know, later after the show, tomorrow, or whatever. I'm going to give you some time, and you can let me know what you'd like to do.
No problem.
Because we don't have a problem with part three. Okay.
Cool.
All
right, I'm going to sing something. This is something small. This
uh-huh.
is something that my mother sang to me, and I sang it to my children. But it's something that I love it. So I'm going to sing it. You ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Yep.
Okay. Tell me why the stars do shine. Tell me why the ivy twines. Tell me why the ocean's blue. And I will tell you just why I love you. Because God made the stars to shine. Because God made the ivy twine. Because God made the oceans blue. Because God made you. That's why I love you.
Yay,
Stella.
That is so beautiful.
y'all know who that is. This one.
Yeah.
lovely, beautiful.
Y'all are funny.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And we won't put you through that again.
Thank you. I'll be leading worship on Sunday if you want to come down to Virginia.
Yeah, but that's all the singing we're going to get over the radio, huh?
Yeah, for today. Ladies,
thank
it has been a pleasure.
Yes, we've enjoyed it. And we are so serious about part three, honestly.
Hey, if you want me, I would be glad to.
Okay, who wants
you just
Sarah
let
back?
Me know when.
Who wants Sarah next week? Raise your hands in the chat room.
Me
There's something in the chat room. It's coming. There's a little delay, but it's coming.
My hands are raised.
Hands
oh, somebody.
His hands are raised.
There
goes. My daughter raised her hands too.
Next week it is.
All right. You got it. It would be my pleasure, ladies.
And
we'll
Suzanne
see
Sarah
will be back next week as well, right?
Yes, she will be back next week. So
I will be back.
Maybe the two of you can double team.
Oh, that'd be cool. That's right.
Yeah. So if Suzanne wants to stick around after she does her segment, that would be cool.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
We'll look forward to that next week. And thank all of you for joining us.
Yes, thank you all so much. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye.
Be blessed.
Thank you,
you
Sarah.
Too.
Awesome,
you
awesome.
Too.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.
Janice, thanks a million. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. It's going to be a nice show next week.